Episode 11, The Herald Angel Sings. The moment I saw light pouring in from the sky, I knew it was too good to be true. Indeed, it was not the sun that I was seeing. The light shining through the clouds was not like any star that I had ever seen before. I knew just what it was. I knew that it was coming for me. Coming to take me away from sleepy Silver Hollow. Dear Ambrose, you aren't going to believe this. I've said many things in my life that are worth disbelieving, but what I'm about to say is true. It's real. After far too many years, the angels came for me. Let me start out by saying today was a busy day. No, it was hectic. Gray got out of the hospital, his ankles are still in casts, he needs support, and Samuel went straight to baking peanut butter cookies for him. But Gray's allergic to peanuts, so Samuel had to trash them for chocolate chip cookies. However, Hannah's roommate Alice, who is literally a human but metaphorically a raccoon, found her way to the peanut butter cookies. She ate them, and then she got some mysterious foodborne illness. Hannah had to rush her to the hospital, but they had to take a long detour because the elites were holding a public execution in Town Square. And then another kidnapping happened while Alice was being rushed to the hospital and Gray was being force-fed sickening cookies. The pigeons kidnapped this old lady named Liliana. She tried to fight off the pigeons with her cane. The pigeons knocked her unconscious. The elites did nothing but pointed and laughed. The criminal that was going to be executed ran away while the elites weren't looking. That criminal ended up inside Gray's dorm building. The elites spent 5 hours searching every room in that building, including Gray's, and they stole Samuel's cookies, and Samuel had a fit, and... you get it. Today was crazy. I really needed some time to clear my mind after all that chaos, so I went to this little spot that I have in the forest. It's right next to a big, sparkling river. The spot is far away from town, so I could sit down and listen to the sounds of the river and the trees without having someone scream in my ear all the time. It was nighttime, but there are instances when the moon perfectly illuminates the clouds in Silver Hollow, allowing them to keep their silver sheen through the night. That was the case today. The silver sky shone down on me while I watched the rushing river and calmed my frayed nerves. It was so peaceful. I felt like a little Disney princess. And then, I saw it. I saw light pouring through the sky. I had been about to doze off, but seeing this light made me snap to my senses. I wondered, could it be? Were the clouds in Silver Hollow finally parting? The clouds have never parted. Not once, not ever. The clouds parting in Silver Hollow would be like if the sun exploded, or if Earth turned into a kumquat, or if manatees grew legs and took over the planet. I'm saying that it's something that shouldn't happen in a long, 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 long time. I stared at the blinding light, my eyes watering. Then I realized this wasn't moonlight. This wasn't light from the sun or a star. I was familiar with this kind of light. This light was warm and forgiving, but at the same time, icy cold and fear-inducing. Bright but also dark, gentle but also cruel. This was the light of an angel. For a moment, I let myself believe that the angels were taking me back. For a moment, I thought that my time on Earth was finally over, that I could at last return to the heavens and restore myself to my former angelic glory. But then I was horrified because what if I'd actually done something wrong? Had the angels come to tell me that my sentence was to be longer? Did the angels want to put me on another trial? The light dimmed enough for me to look at the angels without feeling as though my eyes were being turned into raisins. Because I was, and still am, in a mortal body, my eyes could not process the true appearance of the angels, so they continued to look like glowing balls of light for me. I remember how an angel actually looks, but I don't know how to explain it all that well. We are heavenly beings that exist beyond human comprehension. We look like the personification of the sky and the sun, if it was rolled up into a crystal ball and the crystal ball was covered in something the consistency of peanut butter, that something being liquefied crystal like carbonated water, but not actually carbonated water. Like if absolute perfection was turned into a ham sandwich, and then you cut the sandwich in half, but not into two rectangles, but into two triangles. And then you take ocean sea spray and put it on the sandwich to make it salty, but not actually. Like the sea spray is still moving, still spraying, or whatever. No, it's like if you took a philosophy book, ideally Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, force-fed it to a parakeet, and showered fresh snow over the bird like a snow cone, and the snow still moving, still snowing, it's like, oh, you know what, I can't explain. For now, you can just imagine glowing balls of light. Even though I was stuck in a mortal body, meaning I couldn't see the angels in their true form, I could easily tell who was who. Don't ask me how I knew, I just did. Now, the names of the angels are also beyond human comprehension. There's no way for a human to say their names. See, that's why I chose the simple name Willis when I came to Earth, because my real name is impossible to pronounce. Let's see. The humanified version of my angel friend's name should be Demetrius, Antoinette, and Harold. Yes, that's close enough. Harold was the first one I recognized because he and I go way back. We have a really tight bond, a special connection of sorts. It's the equivalent of having a best friend. But we sort of lost touch with each other because, you know, I was banished from the heavens and all that unnecessary drama. One thing that I really like about Harold is his voice. He has a very nice voice, like the voice of a dying star. But because I was in a mortal body, my mortal ears could not listen to his voice in all of its glory. So instead, Harold's voice sounded more like a giant church choir singing all at once. The singing was good, though, so I wasn't too bothered. Harold spoke, or sang, in human English, except for when he said our names. To my mortal ears, the heavenly name sounded a bit like a radio static and melting candle wax. Harold spoke mostly in English, but he also mixed in a bunch of heavenly angel language in there as well. I could understand perfectly fine, but it did sound very odd. It was as if a song was switching back and forth from old-timey country music to bass-boosted dubstep. "Greetings, Willis," Harold greeted, or sang. "Do you remember me? I am your friend Harold, and these two next to me are Demetrius and Antoinette." I told Harold that I would never forget him, and that I would never forget Demetrius nor Antoinette. I asked him what they were all doing in Silver Hollow. "I have come to deliver a message," Harold sang. "Demetrius and Antoinette are merely accompanying me to ensure that no other mortal sees us." On cue, Demetrius and Antoinette began blasting birds from the sky, turning them into fine dust. The two angels smited every living thing that was within 100-meter radius, which was fun to watch. Harold then began to sing the message. Like, he didn't stop to ask me how I was doing, what kinds of shows I was watching, if I could buy him a sleepy Silver Hollow tote bag. Yes, Silver Hollow tote bags exist. They have a picture of the clock tower in town square next to a bunch of depressed people smiling painfully with the caption, "We love clouds and we hope they will never go away." It's a nice design. I have a tote bag myself. Anyway, Harold went straight to business. He sang, "It has been brought to the council's attention that a human friend of yours, Ambrose Song, murdered a student named Charlie Rochester 5 years ago. To the council, this is an obvious fact, but to the mortal world, the death of Charlie Rochester remains a mystery. The murder case has been left untouched for several years." Those first few words were terrible to hear. I mean, I knew that it was pretty much confirmed that you murdered someone, but it was still a little bit shocking to hear it. It's real. And now I know the dead guy's name. Charlie. It was, lovely. So, Harold continued. "The council has laid out the following terms. If you gather evidence and prove Ambrose Song guilty of murder, then the council will allow you back into the heavens, where you will be restored to your former glory, free from punishment. You will be forgiven of everything you did. You will be given until the end of the year to carry out this action. On the other hand, if you decide not to bring Ambrose Song to justice, or if you fail to prove him guilty by the deadline, you will be sentenced to mortal life on Earth for another millennia." That's it. That's the message. So, quick little recap. The council, capital C by the way, apparently wants me to prove you guilty of murder. It wants me to put you behind bars, put you in jail. And if I do, then I'll be able to return to the heavens, back to my glorious angelic self at last. It's simple. Prove you guilty and I get to be an angel again. But something still felt wrong about this whole thing. I pointed out to the angels, "Well, since you're all-knowing angels, shouldn't you know everything there is to know about the murder case? Why do you need me to go through the effort of gathering evidence and solving it for you?" Harold the angel saying, "Of course we know all the answers, but you don't. This is a test of your faith, Willis. Life on Earth has tainted your soul. You have grown too attached to these impure humans. If you solve the murder case and prove Ambrose guilty to the human world, you will show to the council that you are a true angel, loyal to our justice-loving ways, worthy of returning to the heavens." It was all a test. Harold and the angels didn't actually need me to solve the murder case. They just wanted me to. For a test. It kind of felt like Harold and the angels were mocking me. They were still heavenly beings. They knew everything about the universe, knew all there was to know. They knew why you killed Charlie, how you killed Charlie, when you killed Charlie, everything. But I didn't know any of that. That was my test. I had to work to figure out the answers. I had to put actual effort and dedication to prove you guilty and put you in jail. At that moment, I knew I wasn't going to prove you guilty. You're not guilty. I mean, well, technically you are. You murdered an entire human being, but still. Something tells me you are not totally guilty. You're Ambrose. I spent enough time to know that you're a good human. And because I am a good friend, I made the decision to give up glory and absolute power for you, a mortal, who will probably die in 50 short years. Look, it was a hard decision. A really, really, really hard decision. But I made it anyway because I'm a good friend. I was willing to stay by your side, even if it meant sacrificing my heavenliness for another millennia. That's what a good friend would do. So what if I had to spend more time on Earth? Who cares? I'm an angel. I'm immortal. I have all the time in the world. Literally. At least that was what I thought when Harold sang to me, "Willis, do you realize that if you stay on Earth for another millennia, you can risk losing your angelic soul entirely?" I stared at the glowing ball of light that was Harold. I said the only rational thing anyone would have said. "Huh?" Harold sang, "Willis, the more time you spend on Earth, the more time you spend in that mortal body, the more you lose your heavenly powers. Do you realize how much of your angelic soul you have lost in these few short years? Already, your memory is failing you. You used to be able to remember everything there was to know. Now your brain can barely keep up with last year's events. Your angel mind is deteriorating. If you stay on Earth for another millennia, you will risk losing even more of your intelligence, more of your power, until..." He didn't finish his sentence. I knew what he meant. If I spent too much time on Earth, I might actually become immortal. I would have scoffed and rolled my eyes at Harold if I knew it wasn't true. But I'm afraid it might be true. It is true. I'm failing to remember things clearly, and for a human that's normal, but for an angel that's supposed to know literally everything there is to know about the universe, that's not great. I started to panic as I realized that I had almost completely forgotten my first years in Silver Hollow, like, completely. I was starting to lose memories of the time I spent with you all those years ago. They were becoming fuzzy, and if I tried to focus on them, they kept slipping away until it was like they weren't there at all. And all of the knowledge that I have obtained during my time on Earth, all of those useless science facts, all of those foreign languages, all of those pop culture references, all of those conspiracy theories about John F. Kennedy, those memories were slowly fading as well. And even worse, so were the memories of my time in the heavens, my home. I could barely remember what it felt like to be an angel. There were all of these gaps in my memory that I hadn't noticed until that moment. It was horrifying. I forgot so many things. I had not known that I was forgetting so many things. And for some parts, I don't even know what I had forgotten. I felt a missing spot in my brain, a giant gap, but I don't know what's supposed to go in it. What did I forget? What did I forget? Was it something important? Something useless? I don't know what's scarier, me losing my memories or me not knowing which memories I lost. I am an angel. Angels don't forget things. No matter how much time passes, us heavenly deities would never lose our memories. And yet, it was happening to me. And it's still happening to me at this very moment. I can't believe I'm only realizing just now. Me, the heavenly deity. Also, Harold sang, "We noticed this a couple of times, but when you talk, you keep saying deities and not deities. It's pronounced deities. Your mispronunciation has been bothering us for a long time." I don't know why he thought that was a good time to bring that up. I mean, Harold, I was literally in a crisis. You tell me that I could possibly lose all of my heavenly powers until my angel brain is that of an actual domesticated house cat, and you think it's a good time to mention that I pronounced deities wrong. After about 20 minutes of me hitting my head against a tree trunk, digging up mountfuls of dirt and aggressively throwing them into the river, and sobbing into a bush, I calmed down a bit. The second I stopped crying, Harold took that as the perfect moment to sing through a big, long list of terms and agreements. I only half listened to him. In the corner of my eye, I saw Demetrius and Antoinette in the background, gently smiting all of the animals or people that came close. They mostly smited a bunch of squirrels. There was, however, one unfortunate hiker who stumbled across us by accident, and I had to watch him combust into dust. Antoinette assured me that it was fine, that the hiker would be reincarnated as a completely different person on the other side of the planet with no memory of what happened, and that the hiker would disappear from everyone else's memories. A simple, effortless process. Maybe it's just me, but I thought it would be much easier if the angels had just let him be. I mean, even if he told somebody, it wasn't like people were going to believe him. Come on, would you believe your friend if they said that they saw three giant glowing balls of light talking to a cat in the middle of the forest? Harold made me sign a giant glowing contract with a giant glowing quill feather. The quill feather, I have to admit, was a bit much. I didn't read the fine print at the bottom of the contract because, scoff, who reads the fine print? I know all that there is to know. It's simple. In order to become an angel again, I have to gather evidence and prove you guilty of murder by the end of the year. If I don't, I'll lose all of my powers and my angelic soul will wither into a husky shell and crumble in the winds of despair and absolute regret. Harold sang a bunch of dramatic notes, his way of saying goodbye. He seemed eager to get away from me, which, frankly, felt a bit insulting, considering we're supposed to be friends. He could have taken 5 minutes to have a conversation with me, could have taken 10 seconds of his time to tell me how much he missed me, could have taken just 1 second to show just a sliver of sympathy. But he didn't do any of that. He just sang. I was angry, but I couldn't stay angry for long because, dang, he could sing really well. Demetrius and Antoinette sang harmony, and then the three took off into the skies again. I was left sitting by the edge of the river, dazed. Now, it has been about 4 hours since the angels came to visit. I am now sitting in a tree, hoping that this tape recorder doesn't fall off the branch. I have spent much time thinking about what I should do. My conclusion? You're a wonderful friend, Ambrose, but I'm afraid that I have to bring you to justice. I'm afraid that I'm going to have to do whatever it takes to put you behind bars. Believe me, this hurts me more than it hurts you. You're a pure, gentle soul, and it hurts me to know that I'm deliberately trying to put you in jail for a silly little murder. There's also Hannah. If I prove that you're guilty of murder, then she'll find out what you did. And that's going to hurt her a lot. It's painful to even think that I'm going to intentionally do something bad, like hurt both you and your sister. Really, I wish it didn't have to be this way. Trust me, if it was up to me, I would turn a blind eye and pretend that murder never happened. It's just one little murder. It's not that important. What's more important is making sure you and Hannah are happy because you're both good people. But, see, here's the thing. I can't risk losing my angelic power. I can't risk becoming a mortal. It's not selfish. I just want to go home to the heavens. Look, you and your sister are amazing people and all, but I'm more important. I'm sorry, that came out wrong. I'm a heavenly deity. Okay? No, deity. Whatever. I don't want to sacrifice all of that power and glory and knowledge because of a few mortals. And, you know, in the end, justice must be served. Even if I choose not to prove you guilty and protect you and your sister from this inevitable pain that's gonna come, you know, sooner or later, someone else is gonna prove you guilty, put you behind bars, and it's just gonna be even worse. I need to prove you guilty now. It's only fair. This is justice. It's just common logic. Believe me, this is conflicting. On one hand, I don't want to hurt you nor Hannah. On the other hand, justice and restoration of my heavenly power. In the end, the latter is more important. It's simply the objective truth. I am more important. I'm sure you understand, Ambrose. You have to understand. It's not selfish. Please, just try to understand what I'm going through here. I know you haven't written to be back ever, but please write back. Tell me what you think. Are you fine with all of this? Or are you angry? Please write back this time. Sincerely, your friend, Willis. Sleepy Silver Hollow is a production of Crown Crow's Corner. Episodes are written and produced by August Kress. Cover art is by August Kress. New episodes are released bi-weekly on Saturdays. For more information, visit our website, crowncrowscorner.com. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can go through the website and ask questions through the comments section. August Kress does not have any socials. Thanks for listening to this episode.